Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. You've joined us on a good day as we return now to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. I will remind you that thus far we have read and discussed in depth the first five verses of this very important chapter in the Bible, and we have spoken about who the serpent is. We talked about the origin of evil. Then we had a 10-part series on Satan's temptation of Eve, which led us into a prolonged, but I pray also profitable discussion on the providence of God. The providence of God serves as our answer to the question, why did God allow for evil and sin in the world? As we talked about the providence of God, we laid down Genesis 3 and searched several other scriptures, both Old and New Testament. Having done all of that, we come back now to Genesis chapter 3 and put in at verse 6. Maybe you are just joining us, or you have been away for a bit and now you're back, and or perhaps you would like a refresher, a much-needed reminder of some element of what we've learned thus far. If so, go to the website godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. And in the very center of the homepage, you will find the whole series of podcasts in Genesis 3. You can press the play arrow right on the website and listen, or you can click subscribe to the podcast and download them for easy listening on your mobile device, wherever you go. The website is godisministry.org, and once you get there, you cannot miss the podcast. Should you have any questions about how this works, email me. I'm happy to answer your questions. My email is mark@godisministry.org, mark@godisministry.org. And if you're thinking, who doesn't know how to get a podcast? Well, thank you for your patience. Some of us need some assistance with this. I invite you to be gracious towards others who may not be as tech-savvy as you are. That's why I try to patiently explain how this works whenever I mention the podcast. Okay, or as we say in Hong Kong, where I lived over 20 years, okay la. If you have your Bible handy, I invite you to open to the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew 4. And you are probably thinking, Matthew 4? Are you sure that's right? I thought you said we will be back in Genesis 3 today. Good questions. Yes, we will get to Genesis 3 this week, but I want to get there by first walking through this open door at Matthew 4. What I want to do is contrast Jesus with Adam and Eve. Whereas Jesus obeyed the word of God, Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of God. Whereas Jesus succeeded in overcoming Satan's temptation to sin, Adam and Eve failed in overcoming Satan's temptation to sin. So let's consider Adam and Eve in the light of Jesus Christ. I'm reading Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That was God's word to us in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. If you know Matthew's gospel, then you will remember that Jesus appears first at the Jordan River to begin his earthly ministry, and there he is baptized in the water by John the Baptist. As Jesus is coming up out of the water, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus. God the Father declares from heaven that Jesus is his Son in whom God is well pleased. That's when chapter 4 begins, as I read. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Having received the Holy Spirit, Christ is led into the wilderness, and there he meets with the devil, who is Satan. Then, when Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, listen to how subtle the Bible is, he then became hungry. Yes, 40 days and nights without food will certainly make a man hungry. And recognizing that Jesus is hungry, here comes the tempter, Satan, and he whispers to the Lord, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." A typical devil. He's still doing exactly this to us. He recognizes in us a need, and he pounces. But notice how Jesus responds. He quotes the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." As soon as Jesus quotes the word of God, as soon as he recounts to the devil what God has said, Jesus has successfully overcome the temptation. He does not turn the stones to bread. Now, if we were to read the rest of the story, we would see how Satan tries two other temptations, and both of those also fail. Why? Because again, two times Jesus quotes the scripture. From Jesus, we learn that knowing scripture and quoting it back to Satan in times of temptation is the way to successfully overcome temptation. To be sure, that is true. However, there is more to it than just quoting the Bible. Jesus did not only quote scripture, importantly, Jesus believed the word of God over the word of Satan. Jesus believed the word of God. When Jesus says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," he is saying that the Bible is more important than food. Because the Bible, which is God's word, sustains us in a way that bread cannot, will not. The word of God tells us exactly what God's will is for our lives. Through his spoken and written word, God commands us. He tells us what to do and what not to do. He is precise. He is exact. He is clear. And Jesus Christ delighted to do the will of God. Jesus obeyed all of God's commands perfectly. Jesus knew what God's will for his life was, and he always did the will of God. Always. Consider with me a few other scriptures, if you would. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus has just met with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And he met alone there with the woman because Christ's disciples had gone into the city to buy food. When the disciples get back, they are very concerned that the Lord had not eaten. Let's pick up the reading in John 4 and verse 31. I'm reading John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." I really want you to capture verse 34. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus prioritizes God's will over whatever food the disciples have picked up at the Samaritan takeout. Jesus Christ delighted to do the will of God. He knew what God's will for his life was, and he always did the will of God. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." If you have your Bible there, flip or scroll ahead to John chapter 6 and verse 38. This is Jesus speaking again, and notice what he says in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What? This is Jesus. He is the Son of God. We would certainly think he can do whatever he wants to do, right? There cannot be a person with more authority than the Lord Jesus. He is God in human flesh. He is God visiting the world he has made. And yet again and again, I just do not have time to give you all the references, but again and again, Jesus does not do his own will. He always does the will of God. The will of him who sent Jesus into the world, that is God the Father. Speaking of time, it is going fast, but let me leave you with one more scripture. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8 says this, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. The psalmist says that to do the will of God is a delight. This is joy. He says, your law, meaning the commands of God, the word of God is within his heart. To know the will of God, we read the word of God. And whatever God's law says, that is what we do. And we delight to do it. Well, when we get all the way over to the New Testament book of Hebrews in chapter 10, the author of Hebrews applies these words to guess who? Yes, Jesus Christ. You can read that for yourself in Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7. Friends, Jesus delights to do the will of God. But in sharp contrast, Eve did not delight to do the will of God. And that is what we shall find out when we get back into Genesis 3 at verse 6. For now, I hope you will let what we have learned today sink into your mind and heart. Jesus delights in doing the will of God. Do you? Join me tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.